people with similar gifts, talents, and resources can look at a situation and one person will see a tremendous opportunity while the others see nothing. Opportunity is in the eye of the beholder. Is it high morals? I wish that were the key, but it's not. I've known people with high integrity who achieve little, and I've known scoundrels who are high producers. Is it the absence of hardship? For every achiever who has avoided tragedy, there's a Helen Keller who overcame extreme disabilities or a Viktor Frankl who survived absolute horrors. So that's not it either. None of those is the key. When it comes right down to it, I know of only one factor that separates those who consistently shine from those who don't. The difference between average people and achieving people is their perception of and response to failure. Throughout our time together, I want you to continually think of what I have just shared with you. In fact, I want to repeat it again because it's the most important statement in the entire book. The difference between average people and achieving people is their perception of and response to failure. Nothing else has the same kind of impact on people's ability to accomplish their desires. How people see failure and deal with it impacts every aspect of their lives. Yet that ability seems difficult to acquire. Most people don't know where to start looking to get it. I haven't always been good at failing forward. It's certainly not something they tried to teach me in school. Take a look at some of my previous attitudes toward failure and see if your experience was similar. First, I feared failure. On the first day of class, when I was a college freshman, one professor walked in and boldly declared, "Half of you in this room will not pass this class." What was my first response? Fear. Up to that time, I'd never failed a class, and I certainly did not want to start. So the first question I asked myself was, "What does the professor want?" School became a game that I wanted to win. Second, I misunderstood failure. As a child, I thought failure was a percentage. 69 and lower was failure, 70 and above was success. But failure isn't a percentage or a test. It's not a single event. It is a process. Third, I was unprepared for failure. When I graduated from college with my bachelor's degree, I wasn't at all prepared for what was ahead of me. I found that out in my first job. As the pastor in a small rural church, I did everything the people might expect of me and then some. But to be honest, I was as concerned about getting everyone to like me as I was with helping people. In the type of church I led, each year the people vote to decide whether to allow the leader to keep his job. And the leaders I had met loved to brag about the unanimous affirming votes that they received from their people. So imagine my surprise when the votes came back, 31 yeses, one no, and one abstention. It was at that moment that I realized what an unrealistic view I had of success and failure. And as I've helped leaders to grow and develop through the years, I've seen that most people are in the same boat. In Leadership Magazine, J. Wallace Hamilton states, "Failure is far more common than success. Poverty is more prevalent than wealth. And disappointment more normal than arrival." Right now, you're getting the chance to sign up with me for a class you never got a chance to take in school, one on failure. Because in life, the question is not if you will have problems, but how you're going to deal with your problems. Are you going to fail forward or backward? When I think of people who were able to look trouble in the eye and forge ahead, one of the first who comes to my mind is Mary Kay Ash. I admire Mary Kay. She overcame a lot of obstacles in her career, and she never let failure get the better of her. Mary Kay's first career was in direct sales, and she was quite successful. But she also found that it was difficult for a woman to progress in a corporate world, especially in the 1950s and early 1960s. So after 25 years of success, she decided to retire. But that didn't last long. By the time a month passed, she was stir-crazy. She was ready to start her own business. She decided on a cosmetic business that would give every woman who worked in it unlimited opportunities. She purchased the formulas to the best beauty products she ever found, worked up a marketing plan, and prepared to set up her corporation. It didn't take long for her to hit her first obstacle. When she visited her attorney to set up her